Hello and welcome to the Unbothered Blondes podcast. Today I am so excited because we have a wonderful, fabulous, special guest. She's also become a very dear friend of mine, and that is Miss Sarah Pappas. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Randa. It's so great to be here. A little bit nervous. It's like my first time doing a podcast.
I was about to ask, is it your first time to podcast?
Yes. I've been asked before. But when you asked, I was like, yes, let's do it. Because I'm, you know, normally more of a private person, even though it doesn't seem like it. But
well, and the good thing about podcasting, it's kind of like you and I are on the phone having a girl chat, and then we just share with everybody.
I love that. I mean, we definitely do a lot of girl chat.
Yes. So I just kind of want to like give you the reins to introduce yourself, kind of your backstory, what you do. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you. So obviously I'm Sarah Pappas. I've lived in, you know, Houston, born and raised. I was a professional pole vaulter for USA back in the day. I now work in the medical field. I've been in the medical field for the past almost 8 years. It's crazy to think about. Working at a very high level, lots of responsibilities, lots of pressures, which I love, and I get to help people in a positive way with my talents. And then on the side, when I have my free time, I do digital creation. So I've been doing that now for the past year and a half. And it's been a true blessing because it's connected me with amazing women like you and helped build an amazing community of women and friendships that have truly shaped my life. So I feel extremely blessed.
I love that. And for the listeners, Sarah actually came. I hosted a brunch at my house. Oh, it was like the week after my birthday last year for my empowerment coaches. And Sarah came as our guest speaker. So I can attest that, you know, sometimes you see women who just post things online, and then you'd see women who actually go and attend these small intimate events that really showcases and shows they practice what they preach. And that's what I really, really enjoy about Sarah.
Thank you.
All the girls loved when you came. They still are like so obsessed with you.
I still talk with a lot of them. Like, and I mean, that's the huge thing is it's good people helping good people, you know? And I think we all go through different experiences in life, and it's not just meant to, you know, shape us and make us better, but to also share with others, I believe, to help them as well, you know?
So how do you, because I feel like if someone's going to follow you from the outside, or if someone's, you know, just going to start pick up following you, the way that you create and do content, it looks like you do that full time. And I know that's just on the side. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, how do you do it? Or what if someone's wanting to kind of get more into that, but they have, you know, a full time demanding job? Can you kind of walk me through that?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, it's just being hyper organized, which that is not my natural forte. I've had to develop that. And I built this kind of skills and traits through pole vaulting. You can't be, you know, an all-American and top 10 in the world if you don't have it together mm-hmm. and what you're trying to achieve. And doing my traditional B2B, develop those habits. I think it's saying is I've always heard the saying, if you want something bad enough, you'll make the time for it. And for me, that's always resonated with me. Like anytime I, you know, I work sometimes 12 plus hours a day, if not more. And I would, you know, just find in the time just to work out, find the time to run through and kind of put up content and like provide value. Cause that's my big thing is like, it's not just putting stuff up there, it's providing value every time that can help others. And I was kind of nerdy growing up. I know people would not believe that. I definitely had like a bull haircut, some rainbow glasses. I rocked like a black turtleneck. I thought that was really chic in Houston weather. I don't know why I thought it was super cool, but I did. But I love to paint. I did sports and was really great at it, but I always had this very artistic side. And so I love to paint, draw, sing. I play my cello. And so for me, I have such a, you know, high pressure job, which I love and I get so much enjoyment. But for me, digital creation is a relaxer for me, you know.
It sounds like a creative outlet, really.
100%. So it's actually, and I think it's just, instead of seeing it as something I have to get done, it's something I get to do. And I think that's important, having that distinction and perspective, because I think people come with that different perspective and it feels like a weight. Like, oh, I gotta get stuff up. And it's like, no, like, this is for you and you're gonna help people. And I get to kind of play around in something that's relaxing, a stress-free, an environment with amazing other community of women that, you know, I always say there's one you and no one can do what you do. And so a lot of girls, I see this hesitation and even wanting to post stuff, and they think they have got to be perfect. They think they have to have it all together. And like, perfectionism is like the killer of dreams. It truly, truly is. Cause then
I feel like it also
try.
Just keeps you from not even starting or not even acting or not even sharing or not even doing.
Yeah, no, 100%. Cause you're worried about what others think. You're living in this, you know, fear-based mentality instead of understanding, like, you have, you know, you have this opportunity, you have this unique perspective. No one's lived your life and no one's exactly like you. So something you put out that's educational, that's something that's an experience in your life or something that inspires you will help someone else. And understanding that, I mean, it's more of a blessing and that you have a voice. I think it's empowering. And I used to be a perfectionist and I would, you know, be worried this stuff out there because I'd be scared to be judged. And I realized, you know what, like, as long as like my tight little knit group, like my friends, like you and whoever think I'm good, then I'm okay. You know what I mean? Cause I think there is this insecurity, and it's something I faced in college, originally enough when I was a pole vaulter, and it was this mentality of trying to be perfect and having it all together. And it really did was hold me back from performing better in sports. Like, I used to choke like really bad, in track meets in college. Usually when the lights were the brightest is when I would like shut down and get scared and insecure. And at these like rinky-dink minks, like I would just like kill it.
Thrive.
And yeah. And I actually started working with a sports therapist to help with my mental performance during meets. And we would sit down once a week and we would just talk about, like, you know, just my day to day, which was kind of shocking to me because I thought we were just talking about sports. And she would say, Sarah, the way you view life is the way you view sports. You know, it's all interconnected. And she kind of helped me understand, like, Sarah, like, as long as the people that know your heart, that know you for you, because there's a lot of people out there and they may pass judgments on you. I heard this best from one of my girlfriends, Logan Lester, because I was asking her about, like, how she, you know, navigates the waters, because I'm, you know, it's tough. And I always want to people please traditionally. And I've learned to let go of that more and just be me. And she told me, it was one of the best advice. She goes, Sarah, you could be the yummiest queso in the world, but there's someone who doesn't like queso. Weird, but they don't like queso. And it's that freeing mentality of, like, you know what, as long as my people who know my heart, that truly know my life, think I'm good, then like, I really don't care what other people think. And it was that realization for me in college. It's like this weight came off of my chest. And it's like I felt free for the first time that I could just be me, you know, and that was good enough. And then I've kind of applied that tool to all the different aspects of my life, which I think it's, you know, helped me a ton. It's been such a blessing.
Well, I want you to tell us a little bit more about the pole vaulting, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I met you, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was like, this girl's like an Olympian status pole vaulter. Like, I was just, I remember being so intrigued by that. So I'm sure the listeners want to hear more about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, funny enough, like the end of high school, I did like every other event in track. I did club volleyball and some other sports, but I hadn't found like my niche. And one day I was watching one of my girlfriends pole vault during track practice. And funny enough, like the people that did like field events did half the sprints. So that definitely was a draw to me too. But I watched her one day during track practice because I'm running around doing sprints and, you know, she's jumping around. I was like, you know what? You have to be fast to do that. And you gotta have some upper body strength. And I have an older brother. So like I would wrestle with him all the time. And I was like, you sure as heck got to be like a little bit crazy. And I was like, I can totally do that. And I begged my coach, and he was like, no, like if you get hurt doing the stupid stick vault, I'm out of like all these other events. Like, no. I said, hey, give me 2 weeks. If I don't place top three on varsity, which is, you know, in high school, if you're top three, you get to the varsity four because it's varsity for all the other events. I won't bring it up anymore. And he's like, deal. I jumped 10 feet in 2 weeks and placed top three in varsity. And honestly, after that, I was like done. Like it's like, you know, when you found your thing. Like that's what God's put me on this planet for, to do this right now. And I, funny enough, did that my junior year, and then I qualified for states, crazy enough. And 3 days before state, I had a practice. And you know when you have like that feeling like something bad's gonna happen, you know,
Oh
like
gosh,
just
that's the worst.
yeah. And I just knew that day like something was just off, and I was nursing a stress fracture. I had just done a long practice the night before. My poles are left on my car, and my coach, what probably wasn't honestly really well versed to even coach pole vaulting, because most of the coaches in track were football coaches, you know. But none of them, pole vault's so technically demanding more than any other event. And he basically said, well, your warm up is going to be you getting your poles since you didn't bring your poles to practice. You know, because there's no excuse at state. And I was like, okay. You know, and that was that people pleaser mentality. I was like, okay, you know, I'll toughen up. I'll go get the poles. I got the poles. He made us running against a headwind. You never do that in pole vaulting. Like, you're running with like a 12-foot long stick, and if you try to run with a headwind, like you can really put yourself in damage. I didn't have any warm-up jumps, nothing. He put me on my meat pole. That's like my biggest pole. I didn't even get to do some like soft pole drills, which gets you comfortable and in the rhythm, because it's not like a natural thing to like fling yourself in the air. And but I was just like, my coach was like, you just gotta do it. And I was like, yes, coach, you know. And I went straight up and I came straight down, and I landed in the metal box where you stick the pole on my back. I
Ooh.
fractured my T4, my T5, and my sternum. Like I hit the box, I shot up, my whole chest had collapsed. I couldn't breathe, so I thought I was dying. Like I literally thought I was dying, and I tried grabbing my coach as I like bounced out of the box, and I, you know, fell back, and then I passed out for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, 2 to 5 minutes. I was completely gone. They still didn't call the ambulance when I woke up.
Oh
I
my God.
woke up. I woke up. My coach is looking at me. You know, I don't know better. I'm thinking it's 3 days before state. I gotta be okay. I gotta jump. You know, I'm just like, I gotta shake it off. And I was like, just bring me some water. They brought me some water. They had me walk across the track because they didn't know honestly what they were doing, and I had fractured my back and I was walking. They didn't call the ambulance still. I got across the field. They made me call my mom. I had to call my mom to come get me. They had to like carry me because eventually the adrenaline had worn off, and I needed help to just get in my mom's car. She took me to a very good friend, Dr. Provenzano and Memorial, to look at it. He scanned it, and he did an X-ray and all the things, and he looked at me because I was like, I was in tears, I was in so much pain. And he goes, Sarah, I don't know how you're not paralyzed from the waist down
Oh my.
or died instantly, because when you cracked your sternum, it's right in front of your heart, and like it didn't puncture your heart. And he's just like, it's truly a miracle that you are alive, or at least not paralyzed. I got really lucky. I didn't have to have surgery. I was in a recliner for 3 months, and it was a really tough period in my life because it was that summertime, and I couldn't walk more than a few feet. I couldn't even lay in a bed. I had to sleep in a recliner. And I spent those 3 months really looking back in my life and really, you know, like my mom was kind of like, Sarah, you can retire, you don't need to pole vault, like you've done it all, like you know what I mean. And everyone was kind of telling me like, you're crazy to ever go back.
How old were you at this
And
point? And how long have
Golly,
you been
I was
pole
like
vaulting at this point?
16, 17. I
Oh,
only
you were
been pole
so
vaulting for
young.
like, yeah, I was like 16, 17. I only been pole vaulting for like 6 months, if
So
that.
this was going into like your first ever state meet.
Yeah, this is the end of my junior year, and that summer going to my senior year, I was in a recliner. Like I
Got
was,
it.
and so I remember there's this book I got that summer because like my mom would like, give me some books that I request for because that's all I could do was watch TV or read books. I couldn't do anything. And I remember getting a book called The Barbarian Way, and it talks about, not living in fear in life and not letting fear control you, because a lot of times people do. They're scared. And it was a really passionate and pivotal book for me because it's kind of talked about how these, true historical figures, like the guy from the Braveheart, I forget his name, like it was Scottish, history.
I
I
know who you're
don't want to
talking
get,
about, but I'm.
yeah, but like you remember, Braveheart, the movie.
Yes.
But it's a true historical story, and it's about this guy that like could have let fear, but he stood up for what he believed in, and he didn't live in fear. And for me, it was like hearing that barbaric call. If you have that call, we all do in our heart, of a dream and a passion. That's something, and a lot of times as we get older, we stop listening to it. That call, that dream that we have,
Or like
and
life
we let,
happens and you're like, well, I can't change or
we,
add this in.
and we're too scared to go for it, And I remember reading it, and I was just like, you know what? Like, if I don't face this, I will regret this the rest of my life. Like, I have to go and conquer this fear because I'm sure I can quit and never pick up a pole again. But if I don't face it and beat this fear, I will live in fear for the rest of my life. Like, I know it. You know what I mean? And I
And did
couldn't do
you
that.
like at that point, did you still want to go back? Did you still want to see what
I
you could do pole vaulting wise?
a 100%, but I was also scared because people die pole vaulting.
Yeah.
Like, people die every year pole vaulting. It's not like a like laissez-faire thing. And so it
And you
was
just had a
something.
doctor tell you're
Yeah,
lucky.
like I'm lucky to be alive. Like I should have died or been paralyzed. And most people would just be like, "Nah, I ain't doing that,"
Yeah.
And I just knew that the dream of mine was to go and continue pole vaulting. And I remember I got a coach call from one of the coaches at Rice, who's a fantastic technical pole vault coach, and he's like, "Sarah, I heard what happened." He's like, "Please don't give up. Come train with me. I'm gonna train you the right way. You're gonna learn how to pole vault correctly." And he's like, and so I basically had to spend, I remember August was when I was cleared. I that day after getting cleared, I walked or I drove to Memorial Park in a 3 mile loop. And I would walk that thing almost all day. And that first day, I really just walked it, and like I almost got passed out because it's Houston heat in August. Like,
Yeah.
you know
It's
how it
hot.
is in Texas in August. It's the worst time of the year. But I was like, this is what I got to do. I'm gonna do it, and it's just putting blinders on. And I would walk that thing every day because it's all I was clear to do in August was walk.
Oh, and
And
you're
then
probably so tired of the dang recliner, you're like, give me the heat. I'll walk and sweat.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just like, I'm gonna do this. And then I worked with him, and he built me back up from just being able to walk, to being able to jog, to be able to sprint again. How to, like, I remember the first time I had to put a pole on my hand and bend it on the runway. And I like, I can feel like my hands are shaking right now thinking about it, because it's like facing down death, because you're literally looking down the runway and you're like, I could die right now doing this. And I were just looking down that runway, and it's the first time I had to bend the pole. And I just remember just, for me, I just remember being a God and be like, God, this is what you designed me to do. This is what I'm going to do, like, and I'm going to go for it. But it literally, I mean, it scared the bejesus out of me, but it was such a life lesson for me that if this is what I'm like designed to do, what I feel called to do, and this is my passion and dream, like, I'm just going to go for it, because I'd rather do that, than just settle in life. And
Yeah.
my grandma always said this growing up. She's like, "Sarah, most people are dead on the ground." She's like, "They're just trying to get by day to day, like just
So
survive."
true.
And she and that was it was a really passionate moment for me as a little kid hearing my grandma say that. And she would be like, "Sarah, go and live. Like, do not hold back, because she was, I mean, she was I get my passion and drive and work ethic a lot from my dad's side. And my grandma, she was like 4'10", and she was a powerhouse. I kid you not. I think my grandpa and them lived in Ohio. She wanted to have a big family. The doctors back then, because technology is poor, was like, you can't have kids, they're too, too small. And she was like, oh really, I'm gonna go show you. So she moved their whole family from Ohio to Houston, because they had the best doctors were in Houston in the medical center. She had six kids. I kid you not.
Wow.
She had multiple miscarriages. She wanted to be an attorney, but women couldn't be back in the day. So she actually ran the political campaigns for mayors and governors of Texas. Like, they would come over to my grandma's house and get their blessing to
Wow.
run. Like, George Bush Sr. came to my grandma's house to get blessing to run for governor of Texas back in the day. And I mean, she's definitely a formative figure and a driver for me. It's like, if you have a grandma like that, you can't not be like going for
Yeah, you got to keep it
it.
going.
Yes.
Wow.
But
So,
yeah.
how long until you kind of got back into the pole vault without the fear? Or was there always still, like, did the fear become less the more you did it? Or was it always a little bit there?
There's always a little bit of fear. That senior year, what was really cool, I worked with him. I developed myself. I PR'd a foot and a half that year for my previous year. I got a full ride scholarship. I was top 25 in Texas in high school. Like, just going for it, my dream. And it was able to give me an opportunity to go pole vault collegiately in a D1 university. And then, as I've kind of, got into, college, it was one of those things. You get, remember how I was talking about the choking part? Like, how I get that mentality. It's still, I would always say, like, the fear and nervousness never goes away in anything. I think if it does, I think you're in the wrong field. It means you don't care anymore.
True, true.
And I always say, when I feel uncomfortable, I know that's exactly where I need to be. Like, I've learned that, because I used to fear that feeling of feeling overwhelmed and feeling like I'm not good enough and feeling like that imposter syndrome that people talk about. And college, it was like, a lot of these girls were former elite gymnasts. They've been pole vaulting for years, they've been club for years. And, I'm just me, trying to just, make it. And I remember it was one of those things where, well, my coach always said, just fake it till you make it. And the thing is, like, just always fail forward, and so I've always kind of had that mentality where I try my best, I do the work, but it's one of those things where I just know that, like, when I am, and when I worked with that sports psychologist, a really cool thing she taught me that can help, I mean, you or any girl, is when you're uncomfortable, get comfortable being uncomfortable. The most successful people are comfortable being uncomfortable, and when you're uncomfortable, that's when you truly grow.
I totally agree. When you were saying that not too long ago, just about, kind of being on edge or, that's where you need to be. I'm like, that's where I truly feel the magic happens.
Oh yeah. And there was this really cool thing, the shift that elite athletes pick up. And it's what separates, I always say, like, in athletes, and this is like in any field that people can apply to, you always have the people that work really hard. You always have the people that have all the talent in the world but no work ethic. And then if you can, and then you have those people, those special people that can have that credible work ethic, that have some of the talent, and then learning. Because the biggest thing is you're controlling your perspective of how you view things. And this is, I think, the most powerful tool if you want to be successful. Because when I would be in those meets and I would freak out, because people usually respond in two ways. A majority responded how I used to, was when the lights were the brightest, the pressure was the most, and people would want to shut down and run and hide, like I did. That was my thing. I would just be like, oh my God, I can't handle this, I'm not good enough, da 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 da. And it was really cool because she taught me how to switch it. And she goes, Sarah, when you feel those nerves, instead of fear setting in, turn it into excitement. Like, this is when, instead of you wanting to shut down, this is when you get excited. This is the fun happens. This is where you grow. Like, this is like when you become most alive. And if you can make that shift, she's like, it's game over.
I want to dive in a little more about meeting with her, because I feel like there is a bad stigma of therapy or coaching, or people think like, well, that's, you know, something that I can just teach myself, or I have friends, or even I can listen to podcasts, and you can have ways to hear these things and help you. Kind of explain to me what you think sitting down with someone, meeting with someone regularly, just brought to you.
Oh my gosh. It's made me the woman that I am today. I always say, you know what, we buy new phones, we get new updates for our phones, we get our car oil change every couple of months, we have to do a, you know, yearly inspection. Like, why are we not doing that with our brains? You know, like, we get one body. Like, I can buy another car, I can buy another phone, I can buy all these things, but understanding, like, the mind is the most powerful tool, and that's the one we neglect the most. You know, people will focus on their fitness and wanting to be skinny or fit, or they'll focus on having a ton of money or a ton of power, but understanding, like, the mind is, like, that's the game changer. And learning how to control it, and if you can master your mind, how many more doors open? Because I mean, we probably only have like 10% even kind of concept of understanding of the brain, because it's so complex and diverse, and it's truly fascinating to me. And my first exposure to any type of therapy was sports enhancement therapy in college. And then after that, I actually, for me, it changed my, not just trajectory in sports. I went from being, you know, an average pole vaulter to being top 10 in the world, top 3 in the US, to competing, you know, at the highest level, to also just my, how I view my businesses, how I view my relationships, how I view my friendships, how I view, it's like, I say it's like another level of living that people really miss out on life, because they're just so restricted, because, you know, as individuals, you know, we have these, I say, barriers and walls that we put up, and we don't even know that we're doing it, or that we have had these tough experiences in our past. And I like to say, like, we all have our own stuff, but the more you can face it and work through your past, the more your future opens up. And so, I mean, a really cool thing I did, I worked with a sports psychologist when I was elite pro athlete, was eye movement therapy. Because, you know, there's memories even when you're a child that you don't even know that you are imprinted with, that you're not even consciously aware of. Mm-hmm. So it's unconscious. And so it was a technique that allowed your mind to relax enough to bring these memories. Cause like, I would have these little things where, like, say someone would say a word, and it would just felt like, you know, I would get emotional, and I was like, why am I getting emotional over like this certain word, you know, cause living in relationships or friendships or family, you know, people know how to push your buttons.
Or there's just maybe certain things that trigger you more from your past.
Exactly. Exactly. And you don't even know why it does. And so it was really cool, because there'd be certain memories when I was a little kid, you know, that I didn't even know that I remembered, that were holding me back on living a more enhanced life. And doing the eye movement therapy would bring that memory. And then what's really cool, because when you're a kid, everything feels life or death. It truly does. But when you're an adult, if you're able to pull out those memories, what's really cool is you can look at that memory, take the good out of it and what you learn from it, and then you can let go of the rest. Uh-huh. Truly. And it's like a now become a tool that's made you even better. And like, you let the whatever junk let gone, like it's out. And then it enhances your relationships in all aspects.
And one thing I do want to kind of hit on therapy, if you don't mind if I jump in a bit, because I see so much with my people, you know, obviously there's like the negative stigma, but then maybe you hear some people like you and I talking about how wonderful it is. So then you're like changing your perspectives. So you're like, okay, I'm going to go with an open mind, and this is going to be really good for me. And a lot of other people that I've talked to, it's like the first 3 to 5 sessions I feel like are the hardest, and mm-hmm. it's almost like ripping a Band-Aid and blood is going to go everywhere. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As
Oh,
you
yeah.
keep going, you know, you clean it up, it starts healing. And so it's crazy. I just had therapy, 2 days ago, one by myself. Sometimes I go by myself, sometimes I go with Grant. And now I've been with my therapist for so long that she can be trying to make me understand things that I can say, hey, I need help. You know what this is. Can you help define it for me? So I just feel like sometimes when people hear that, like we can tell them maintenance or different things, but I know a lot of people who have tried it and only two or three sessions in, they're like, not going back.
Oh yeah. They think it's a magic pill. Everyone is, it's like a microwave generation, like, you know, but I always say the good things take time. And when you do therapy, especially if you've never done it, it's painful. It's like going, when you work out that first week, even that first day, and you haven't worked out in the longest time, it hurts
so sore.
Everything. You want to not go back to the gym. You're like,
correct,
forget this. You're like, anytime there's anyone, and I was a personal trainer, and I worked with a lot of clients, it was helping them not just physically, you know, but mentally. But like, I remember going into the gym and starting all over again when I broke my back. It sucked for like a good couple weeks. But I knew that this was making me better. So understanding, like, I always say, like, you know, people, like, if you truly are trying to level up yourself, improve yourself overall, you got to give anything at least 3 to 6 months. Truly, truly. You know what I mean? And I would say if you're going to start therapy, I would do at least once a week. So you can really kind of have that momentum and just commit to just doing 3 months or 6 months. It's like a fitness program. Like, you don't just go to the gym once and you're healed.
Exactly.
And you got the body you've always dreamed
and
of.
And after you've done, after you've done 3 or 6 months of maybe once a week, twice a month, whatever it is, then you can back down and kind of go into your maintenance mode.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the same thing. It's, you know, anytime you're working and changing something that you've done forever this way, you know, it's going to be painful in any category. And I truly think that it's one of the best things that I can suggest. And for people in their fitness, I mean, especially with your ladies, your power her fit ladies, like, it's not just a physical battle, but a mental battle, because they develop these negative patterns, both, you know, thought process wise, physically wise, you know, emotionally wise. And when I'm working with people and I work with clients, I say, give me a year. Give me a year. And because the thing is, even 3 months is not going to be long enough to truly change your life. And studies have shown if you can commit to a year, a new pattern, it will forever be in your life for the rest of your life.
Gosh, and a year in this day and age to people is like a century.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was on that journey. So when I decided, because I was going through that phase in college, and I was just like, you know, I was trying to be like, okay, what do I got to work on? It was working my mental game. So that's where I got the sports enhancement psychologist. It was also working on being better in the air. So I started doing gymnastics, which I was totally humiliating, trying to dance around in a gym in a leotard with 8-year-olds who are like around you, and everything is so complicated and hard. That was very humbling. And then also I need to work on my nutrition. Like, my nutrition game was, it was not on point. I was always kind of the bigger, thicker girl. I know no one believes this. Trust me. Like, that's my natural genetic build. And so I tried every diet under the sun, every workout under the sun. I've been doing it, you know, since I was, you know, hitting, you know, since I was a little girl in elementary school. And so I really realized, I was like, okay, like, I got to figure this out. If I really want to reach new heights, because the heavier I am, the more weight I'm carrying my hands.
Yeah.
And I remember I got very blessed. I got with this Dr. Jeffrey R. Stout. He's one of the leading researchers in diet and exercise. Like, he's the guy that does the studies that everyone writes books about. You know what I mean?
Is he there in Houston or?
No, he's in, I think, Florida now. He was at OU as one of the teachers, up one of the professors. And one of my friends told me about it. He's like, oh, you need to sign for his nutrition class. And I remember I begged him. I said, hey, I really got to figure this out. And he's like, Sarah, what I'll do is I did his class. I signed for his class. But what I did is I would sit down with him once a week for an hour for that year and talk about nutrition. And it took me about, I would say, 3-4 months at least just to get my body back to homeostasis, because I had done so many different diets and fads, you name it, I did it, and I had messed up my metabolism so bad that it was in this fight or flight protection mode, so it wouldn't work, and so I had to kind of build the new patterns, and my body finally got used to it, so where it actually would start burning again, you know, because it basically turned into a little simmer. It wasn't even working because I had just manipulated it so much with all these, you know, cheap, quick turnarounds, you know, that it's
Well,
advertised
gosh, and
everywhere.
with
Like,
pole vaulting, like you're needing to perform at such a
oh,
high
yeah.
standard. So,
It's not just looks, you know, like it is true performance. You have to be as lean as you can, but still be as strong and as fast as you can. It doesn't make sense, and so it's very tiring. And we do a lot of grueling lifts because you're doing Olympic weightlifting, you're doing plyometrics, you're doing sprints, you're doing hills, you're doing everything. I was thrown into a yoga and Pilates class once a week. I was doing, you know, weights 3 times a week, and like I'd be speed running, anything you can think of, I did it. And it's a lot of demand, but you're also like trying to find this healthy balance of, you know, like I gotta, the more weight, less weight I have in my hands, the higher I can jump, you know, but I want to be healthy and
right.
also make it sustainable. Because what I would
Yes.
do in high school is I would be super restrictive with my calories, like everyone does nowadays. And then on the weekends, I would just go crazy after a track meet, you know, and I would just eat everything. And then it was like this vicious cycle where like I was like, okay, but like right when I get to the track meet, it's like, okay, I'm in a good spot. And then I would just deep dive. And then it's like Monday, it's like this guilt, like I just feel so bad about myself. And it was like this vicious cycle I couldn't get out of. And it's like food had a control over me. I know we've had this conversation where it's like it dictated what I did when I went out. I wouldn't even want to go out at times, you know what I mean? Just because I wouldn't want to socially eat, you know, all this bad food. And it was the most empowering thing working through that year with him. It probably took me about 6 months to get my body reset and like seeing the results. And then after that, it's like my body just became a fat burning machine. And I was just burning every week. I was either staying or going a little bit down, staying or going a little bit down. And I was, you know, I had more energy. I was performing better. Like I was just overall health. Like I was working with a wellness PCP. So we were tracking my micro levels and making sure like with sleep and caffeine and everything like that, that was on point. So it was honestly like that year forever changed my life. And that's kind of how I got into social media, because I, you know, had leaned down a lot and in a very healthy way, but people were just shocked. And so girls are like, what'd you do? And how have you been able to? Because I went from you dropping in college to being pro, and I was getting leaner and fitter, and I was doing like almost the same things, but my body was just naturally using everything and just burning at an even higher level and performing at an even higher level. And so I had a bunch of girls be like, what'd you do? Sending me these emails or texts, and they're like, can you send me what you've been doing? And I write these hour-long emails. I was like, okay, this is crazy. I don't have time for this. You know, I was training for the Olympics. I was, you know, a personal training in the mornings. And then, you know, I was also starting to get into digital stuff. And it was fascinating to me. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna like do my meal plans, and these are all recipes I created, like things I just created. And I just like, you know, I'm just gonna write it all up. This is like 2015. And I still go off of that stuff. But yeah, I wrote it all up and I just put it on this page. And I said, if you want to go get it, you know? So I was like, I just don't have the time, girl. But I want to help people, and I want to help other girls that have struggled as well, you know? Just
Well,
like
and I love that
with.
you're sharing so much about coaching and therapy. I just feel like there's so much value for people to hear in that, because it's not like you just worked with one person. Like, you really sound
No.
like a product of one-on-one coaching, therapy, training, like investing in yourself with other people who are, more professional or more knowledgeable in that whatever given area is.
Oh yeah, but and I think I got that from being an athlete. Like when you're an elite athlete, it's not just you. You have a team. And when you look at these billionaires or millionaires, like it's not just them. They have a team around them. And so I understood that I was very lucky, you know, at a young age. When I was in college, like I had tutors, you know, I had, you know, a weightlifting coaches. I had a dietitian I was working with. I was had my own pole vault coach. And then I had my sprints coach, you know, it was a team that was working together in unison
right.
towards this one goal. And I just, when I got done with sports and I transitioned to like just traditional life, I was like, you know what? I still want that same team, you know, where like I have like, you know, a mentor. I have someone, I always like to say, you always want someone that's a little bit further ahead of you, people that are kind of in the same walk, and someone that's kind of like right underneath you that you can mentor and pour into.
Right.
So it turns into this water effect that, you know, everyone gets help and everyone grows. And anytime, and that's the biggest thing I always ask my coaches, I say, what am I weak at? Like, what can I be doing better? And they'd be like, Sarah, you got to do this and this. I'd be like, okay, like no ego aside. I'm
Game
gonna
on.
Find whoever the best is in that thing, you know, and I'm going to go. Like when I got into the business field, I was like, okay, like who's the best at this? I want to watch them and like just see what they do, and then I can take all that good, you know, and apply it to what I'm going to get into myself and how I'm going to craft my business. And so I think trying to do it alone, like, and I say this all probably ad nauseum, I say a high tide raises all ships, and we are stronger together than we'll ever be apart. And instead of like competing, because girls, I think, try to like don't feel like they're competing. I'm like, we're not. Like, no one's you, no one's me. Like, it's one of those things where we can get to our goals faster together, you know, and helping
yep.
one each other
well
out.
And even with, you know, listening to everything you're saying, it's like the sharing and the exploitation of like social media and all this has so much community together, but also at the same time, I think that a lot of people still think that's like the booming time of like DIY, like do it yourself. But
mm-hmm,
like not
mm-hmm.
everything do you need, not saying you can't do something yourself, but sometimes it's easier, simpler, better, more support not having to do it yourself.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, when I see any of my girls like have wins and successes and whatever their business or stuff, I'm like, yes, because it shows me like I can do it too, you know?
Yeah.
So I get excited because they inspire me. I always say, like, when I did the best in pole vaulting was the year I had my competition at the same university I was at. So we were in practice together day to day. And it was like, it was this thing that, so like every other meet, we were both, you know, PRing and like beating each other. You know what I mean? And we
Right.
were best friends and we loved it because we had this conversation probably about 5 years ago. She reached out to me and she goes, Sarah, the best thing that ever happened to me was like having you as my teammate, because it
pushed each
in
other
a way
yeah.
that I never would have pushed myself alone. And I would not have gone as high as I did if I hadn't had you. And I was like, vice versa, girl. Like it's one of those things that's, if you can, I think for women, and that's my big MO is like, and we've had this conversation. I was like, my thing is I want to build a community of kind, hardworking, like selfless women that support one another. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. That's why I say my girls, like, whatever it is, like, I'm in, I support you. You need me at this opening, I'm there. You need me there, I'm there. You know, I have a limitation, but I want to see everyone succeed, because when one of us succeeds, we all succeed. And so, and I think it was really cool because we were having that conversation with your Power Her Fit girls, and I could see that light go off, you know, and like them connecting and like seeing that growth of them growing together.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
So many of them have created so many friendships and almost like built, you know, some of their confidence and success off of each other and together.
Oh yeah, 100%. So I'm all for that, and that's why I think it's when you're isolated, like the negativity comes in, the insecurity comes in.
The devil loves to pray.
yes. And so that's why I say, like, a group cannot be swayed, you know, whereas an individual can. And so if you're dedicated towards a dream, surround yourself with those like-minded individuals, and y'all support and encourage one another, because you're going to have weak moments. Like, I have weak moments. And, like, I love being able to reach out to my girlfriends and for them to just kind of, like, talk me off the ledge and put the right perspective, you know, and like
Right,
that get
right.
through what we're trying to do and doing it together. So it's a life changer for me, having an amazing community of women. And so
let the listeners know where to find you, you know, if they have not are following you online.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram, just Sarah Pappas, Sarah with an H, and then Pappas, Pappas. And yeah, DM me. I'm always happy to help girls, guide girls in right directions, connect them with like the best types of people and stuff like that. The one big thing, and I always like to say, and this is when I got into the business field and I was working with one of my clients, he goes, Sarah, you know, I'm gonna give you one piece of advice in life. And this is probably the best thing I've ever learned in my life. He goes, Sarah, show the good, hide the bad. If you tell me everything's great, I'm not gonna believe you. And you know that for me, like I am a researcher, and if I'm gonna spend money on something or do something, like I wanna know it's the best and it's gonna maximize my time the best.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like thing that I love, being able to help girls. Like I've helped girls find really great, you know, chiropractors or wellness PCPs or whoever. So please, ladies, do not be shy to reach out and DM me, or any way I can help support and encourage y'all. I truly love, I feel like that's why I'm here on this planet, is to help other women reach their goals and dreams. So thank you, Randa, so much, seriously, for having
yes.
me.
Yes. And if y'all are near the Houston area, like Sarah always has the newest, greatest, like most fabulous spots to go for dinner, drinks with your girlfriends, date night with your honey. I mean, she really does a lot of incredible things. And if you're listening kind of in real time, like not months from now, we have the Mindful Business Women coming up on March 26th that Sarah and I are both on the panel together there in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a few more tickets. I think they just opened up. So if you are serious about leveling up as a businesswoman, an entrepreneurial woman, you need to be here and you need to be networking with these ladies. So
and
definitely,
Logan's
going to
be
ticket.
There.
Yes.
I know you mentioned Logan in here, and we're going to be bringing Logan on as a guest on the podcast. I've known Logan since right before she started college. She's precious, precious.
Oh my God, precious soul. And then I think we have April Salazar. I think it's going to be a great group.
It is. It is. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for giving us and sharing so much of your story, your background, you know, your belief in coaching and therapy. I think that is going to bring a ton of value to a lot of the listeners. So if y'all love this episode, we'd love for you to screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, tag us in Unbothered
yes.
Blondes, give us a review, let us know all the things so we can help spread this all around.
Thank you guys.
All right. Bye, everyone.